I know it's morning because it's so cold, but anyway, whether it's afternoon or whatever it's the reason, I can't believe it. 30th of June, last day of the financial year, and cold. Thank you very much to those forthright and thoughtful people who have thought in past weeks and months to have air conditioners that are going to push out the heat for us so that when we get here, it's not going to be as cold. Welcome back to Malcolm. We promise that this time when he preaches, we're not going to send him home with something extra. Last time he preached, he said he went home with COVID and was away for 2 more weeks. So we're hoping that if he takes something home today, it is not going to be something that's going to lay him low again. If you've read your grapevine, you know that today we've got the story of blind Bartimaeus. And we've got from Matthew about the theme of judgment. Bom, 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 bom. And we get the chance to take home a homework sheet. And I'm just fierce. Chloe's not going to do the homework. She's already told me that. It's holidays. Okay, let's stand and sing. Here I am to worship.
Thank you.
If you haven't worked out, you're welcome to have the fellowship, be part of the fellowship lunch today, opportunity to connect and chat. And in just a little 3 more weeks' time, Sunday the 21st of July, we have got the chance on a Sunday afternoon to come around about 2 o'clock in the afternoon to hear an amazing jazz band. They've got this drummer called Rob. The Don Hopwood Southern Jazz Bandits are going to entertain you on Sunday the 21st of July. Pleasant Sunday afternoon, set up similar to this, and a cup of tea and a biscuit or whatever, and a chat. Admission is by donation of gold coins, or even paper money. Money going to our new community pantry. Bloke's Dinner, that's July the 27th. Wednesday night, July the 17th. Those people who would like to be part of that, contact Neville. And the Home Alone's this Tuesday the 2nd, at the Warrido Hotel. Please let Bob Stone or Bob Manson know. Now, Sam, can you put down your bits and pieces just for a tip? Sam and Chloe, have I got a treat for you? Beautiful. Now, one of the things that we're chatting about today, we're looking at today, is a story of blind Bartimaeus, right? Now, I'm sure you've done this game where inside this bag there isn't a loaf of bread. There is something, but you have to work out what it is, not by using your eyes. Have you done this before? So you have to put your hand in. Trust me, it's not a set mousetrap or a loosey jelly or anything like that. It's just something for you to feel. But you're not allowed to look at it. You have to tell me, well, no, you don't have to. I want you to see if you can tell me what it is without one of your senses. I know what it is. I can feel it right now. Right? But you're not going to be using your sense of sight. Okay? You're going to be using your sense of what? Which sense will you be using? Feeling or touch, right? You don't need to use your sense of taste. What's another sense that we've got?
Hearing.
Our sense of hearing. Tasting. Smelling. We're not going to smell it either. So just put your hand in there, don't look.
Don't look, you
Okay, you think you might know what it might be? Don't tell me. Yeah, don't know yet. Let's see if Sam can. Sam, have a feel, see what you reckon. It's a bit tricky. You know where it is? Okay. I'm not going to ask you to say it. I'll turn it down. Sometimes people in our world have to use their sense of touch. People who are blind. But wait, there's more. In here, I've got some money. You can have a touch, you can have a feel. I want you to see, there's two bits of one coin.
Wait, so we need to guess one.
Not guess it, you need to feel it, okay? So there's two coins and there's three coins. So, don't look, there's two coins. See if you can tell me what the two coins are and what the three coins are. Hush! We want Sam to throw as well. Let go, make sure you're not taking a withdrawal. Let go, you rough. Okay, what do you reckon? Tricky. So there's two coins of one denomination, one kind of coin. No. You just have to have the warm, cozy feeling. Okay, let go.
It's two.
Wrong. It's, look what it is. It is two $2 coins.
What?
Yep. Two $2 coins and three 20-cent coins. Is that what you were thinking it might be? Sam, what are you reckon? Were you thinking it might be something like that? Yeah. And in the old days, you can't really see it now, but there were people who had to feel that little rough part around the end. Because you want the $2. Why doesn't that surprise me? Back in the old days, money came in these kind of bags. Okay? Here's one more thing I want you to feel. What is it? It's a toy. I'm telling you it's a toy. Do you know what kind of toy it is? This is going to be impossible to work this one out, but I'll throw this one out. It's a dog or something.
It's a reindeer.
No, it's not a reindeer. Let go. Let Sam. I'll let you see what it is. I want it now. Yeah, it's a soft toy. You can take it out, Sam. Oh. Okay. So that's what it was, a little rabbit or something like that. Okay? So, well, you do. I just wanted you to say, oh, well, it's got ears, it's got legs. You couldn't guess it was a rabbit, but you could guess it had ears and things like that. So the point is, there are people in our world who haven't got the use of all of their senses, as it says. Think what you're saying here, Rob. Sometimes you haven't got their sense of sight. What do they do? If you haven't got a sense of sight, what do you sometimes do? If your sense of sight is not brilliant, what do? Get glasses on, don't you? Some people have glasses. Some people whose sense of hearing that's not as good, hearing aids, that's right. Now, there's not a lot of things you can do for a sense of touch, okay, or a sense of smell. I was going to bring a mandarin today and open the mandarin up and say, you can smell the mandarin. Yeah, Vaseline, that could be, that's right, that could be. So we're going to be singing a song called The Blind Man, talking about our sense of sight. The fact the blind man didn't have a sense, and he says, show me the way. Okay, and that's one of the things that we come to church to do, to get other people to help us, to show us the way. Okay, let's see if we can sing the song. And for those people who have got, can we just pop the words up there, Ken? Please. Blind man sat by the road and he cried, clap, clap, aha. So those frozen hands can come out and we can put that blind man sat by the road and he cried. It looks like a semicolon, but it's really a sign that means clap here, okay? And later on, there is the last verse has got lots and lots of claps. So by the end of the song, thank you, by the end of the song, you're clapped out. Let's sing this. I forgot the words. Thank you to Chloe. Thank you to Ed. That was fantastic. Thank you to you guys. Please be seated and we'll have the Bible reading. Thank you. Now just sit back and relax because there's a lot of words in this Bible reading. Here are one or two words.
There's a lot, but at least I can pronounce them.
Yeah.
The first reading this morning comes from Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, Cheer up, you're on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Our second reading comes from Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous man will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jackie. And Leon will now lead us in our prayer.
Good morning. This is the time that we pray for others. It is also the end of the financial year, the time that we sort of get our things together and our finances right. Let us pray and give thanks for all your grace, your love, mercy, and forgiveness. Father God, we thank you for many, many blessings. Let us pray for peace, especially the places like the Ukraine, Russia, the Middle East, Gaza, Israel, Palestine. We also pray for the leaders of all these countries. Give them wisdom. Let us pray for the countries where there have been floods, earthquakes, fire, drought, pestilence. We pray for the easing of their pain and their suffering. Let us pray for leaders of this South Australia, this state, and also our Prime Minister of Australia. Give them wisdom as they deal with the issues affecting all of us. Father, we pray for all those suffering from bereavement, loneliness, cancer, domestic violence, depression, mental illness. Lord, give them healing and understanding. Father, bless our minister, Malcolm Bottrell, and his family, and for the continued rehabilitation of David Pryor, bless also his family. Father, we pray for the chaplains in schools as they minister to students, teachers, parents, give them strength and also understanding. Father, bless this church and at the Vines and its leaders. Give them patience and wisdom as they serve you. Let us just pray in silence for those in our hearts or those we may have overlooked. Let us pray for those who are travelling here in this country or overseas. Grant them mercy and safety. Father, let us just pray together as you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Leon. Next song is the servant song, saying, Let me serve you. Let me do this for you. We're going to sit and sing this, and then once we get to verse 6, the last verse, which is a repeat of the first verse, we can stand just as the offering is coming forward too. And then Malcolm can bless the offering after that. That'll be good.
Pray the Bible, drive the grave. Let us give thanks. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for all the blessings that we enjoy in our lives, the blessings of love and understanding. Those who stand with us and for us and wrap us in their arms of love. For the big things and the very small things for which we are not always grateful, we say thank you. For this family, these people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, we thank you. And for the gifts we share and the gifts we bring, we give you our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we go any further, I spoke to a gentleman whose name I've forgotten.
Eric.
You're going into hospital for heart surgery on Tuesday. Does everybody know that?
We do now.
You do now? Can we say for you, it's Eric, is it? I've only got half a hearing. Well, one out of two. Let's pray for Eric. Lord, for our brother Eric, as he faces surgery on Tuesday, heart surgery, we pray. We affirm our love for him. We affirm our belief in the healing power of Jesus Christ. And we affirm our belief in the healing gifts of the medical profession. May this be a time of healing and transformation and gratitude for us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of us who watched an episode of Britain's Got Talent in this past week, we saw a couple walk on stage. To me, one of them obviously looked blind, but we found out that both the husband and the wife were blind. And they were asked, "Where did you meet?" And the wife said, "Well, we met on a train." "Oh, how did you meet?" "He asked me for the time." Can you imagine a blind man asking a blind woman what the time was? And their joy in life, being blind and yet liberated, was deeply moving. And then he moved with a little bit of assistance to the grand piano. She stood in front of the microphone and she sang the most glorious rendition of "Climb Every Mountain." It was a bit hard not to be a little affected by it. And I'd done most of my sermon preparation by the time before I'd seen that, but I have a habit of adding stuff as the time passes. How have our views on people with disabilities changed in the last 40 or 50 years? They used to be excluded or avoided, or we institutionalized them and made them go mad. We did some dreadful things over the years to people with disabilities. Back in the 1980s, we had a man attended one of the churches that I served in the Elizabeth area, and he was in a wheelchair. He'd become a paraplegic, quadriplegic, diving into a pool. And I got a message to visit this man. I'd never seen him before, but I visited him and he was extremely angry. And you might guess why he might be angry, and you could guess a number of different things. But in his anger, he said to me, "I'm not a disability, I'm a person." And you may have encountered people who may have felt that way, or thought that way, or encountered people who had people that they loved who were being treated as a disability, not just as a person. Now they're included so much more. Now they are affirmed so much more. Neil said this is water, but I had two glasses of water when I was speaking on Friday, and it was really good stuff. Rob, you can tell Varel that I've told a Varel story this morning. When I was minister at Happy Valley, Varel broke some norms. Can you imagine that?
She said yes to me.
And she had, was it a dead ball, wasn't it?
Yep.
A dead ball in the Adelaide Town Hall for people with disabilities, predominantly Down syndrome. And Varel, our ex-daughter-in-law is Laurel, and I keep, sorry. Varel faced criticism for making an example of people with disabilities, putting them on show.
Dressing them up with clothes.
Putting them in decent clothes. You know, I can remember seeing them, these guys in suits and the young women in dresses. And every one of them a Down syndrome person.
And they had a glow on their face.
Pardon?
They had a glow on their face as well.
Oh, they caught a light. It's one of the really joyous memories about disabled people that I have. And I was speaking to someone with a disability in recent years, and he said, "Yes, I have a disability, but a lot of people forget how many abilities I have." Yes, I have a disability. Rob referred to disabilities that we all have. Not all of us, but many of us. We wear glasses, we wear hearing aids. I've got one tin hip and I've got another one coming. You know, we all have our disabilities. Not too many of you would understand this, but as I get older, I don't remember so well. And we are told that they were leaving Jericho. Jesus, his disciples, a large crowd, and a blind beggar, Bartimaeus, on the roadside, and he heard it was Jesus.
"Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, have mercy on me."
And many people said, "Be quiet." And they said that overtly with their voices, and they said it silently by turning away and saying, "Oh, another beggar Aren't they a pest? And Bartimaeus would not give up.
Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
And Jesus said, bring him here to me. Call him here. And the people showed a change of heart. Take heart. Get up. He's calling you. And Jesus says to Bartimaeus, what is it you want me to do for you? Now you'd think, now we'd never want to call Jesus stupid, would we? But you'd think, what a stupid question. What would a blind man want? My teacher, let me see again. I can hear the brokenness in his voice as I read those words. My teacher, let me see again. And Jesus says, go, your faith has made you well. He regained his sight and he followed Jesus. Have you noticed that I've missed part of the story? Now, where's Jackie? You read this story to us. What have I missed? Can you remember? Or can some, look, I'm really, these old school teachers are a pain in the neck. But somebody might be able to help Jackie. What have I missed in the story?
Your mummy's cloak.
Yes. When he was told he's calling you, Bartimaeus took off his cloak, threw it aside, and came to Jesus. And it raises the question for us, if we are to experience healing and transformation and strengthening and new hope and direction, what do we need to throw off? What do we need to discard? Our old self. I heard the voice, but I can't pick the person. Yes. We need to throw our old self. His identity was the beggar's cloak, the blind man's cloak. His identity was that which drew upon him judgment and condescension. And he chucked it aside. Look, it's all right. That jacket's 30 years old, so it's. And Bartimaeus shed the identity of the blind beggar, and he came. He shared being judged, being considered evil, demon-possessed, unclean, less than human. He threw aside his fear. He threw aside being a target of bullying and verbal abuse and poverty and being burdened on a family who so often rejected the people with disabilities and threw them out of the town. And of course, he cast aside being banned from participating in the community of faith. Beautiful story was told that I read many, many years ago of a weekend young people's conference camp. And at the end of the camp, people were coming forward and they were giving testimonies as to what the weekend had meant to them and what had changed in their lives and maybe what cloaks they had chucked away. And after a while, a young woman came out and there were a few murmurs around the room. Oh, not her. Not her. This is going to be embarrassing. And the preacher who was leading that part of the program tells the story of this young woman, probably in her late teens or early 20s, obviously with a disability, who came and stood at the microphone and she said quite calmly and graciously, "I know what a lot of you people are thinking. You don't think I should be here. I don't understand a lot of what you people say and what you think. But this weekend, something has happened in my life that I do not understand, but I now feel more loved than I've ever felt in my life." And she walked back to her seat in silence until someone stood up, one person, and began to applaud. And the ripple spread. Isn't that the story of Bartimaeus? The story of acceptance, of healing, of transformation. And Bartimaeus had a physical problem, but he also had others dumped upon him. Emotional, intellectual, behavioural, cultural, political. He was wrong in every way. And that's what we used to do with these people. I want you to use your imaginations. Imagine what puts you on the side of the road. And people passing you by and not taking you seriously. Can you think of something in your life? I think most of us have had our Bartimaeus experiences. Left on the side of the road and told, just be quiet and keep out of it. We don't need you, we don't want you. Does your imagination let you see yourself as a member of the crowd? Passing judgment on a person with a disability? Does our imagination allow us to admit that there are times when we take the easy way out and ignore a person's needs and their gifts and talents? Now just imagine yourself as being a disciple, a member of the church at the Vines. You're watching all this. And you say, I don't want to get involved. The disciples were there. The people that we would expect to know better than anybody else. You know, we as Christians have much to answer for at times because we're pretty good at judgment on occasions. We're pretty good at determining who deserves and who doesn't deserve, and who we might want to love and who we don't want to love. And is it too difficult for us to imagine that we might be Jesus? Who cuts through the voices of opposition and rejection and says, "Bring him here to me. Hey, come here." I've been in a church where somebody walked in and the reaction of those around them was, at least he could have had a wash before he came to church. You see, one of the aspects of the story of Bartimaeus is the call to the church to reposition itself in relationship with the world. I received a phone call one day from the funeral director. He said to me, "Malcolm, do you remember the father and son who did some concreting and brickwork at the manse soon after you arrived?" "Yes." "Well, Pete's just shot himself and the family wants you to conduct the funeral." So the family had nothing to do with the church. They'd just chosen as a tradesman and his son helped. So I worked with the family and I planned the funeral. And on the Sunday, I mentioned to the congregation, "You remember the work, the brickwork and the concrete paths that were done at the manse 6 months ago? Well, young Pete killed himself last week. And the funeral's here in the church on Tuesday. And I would like as many of you people as possible to be there." People were rather quiet as they left church that morning. This is back in the 1970s. And an older, very, very gracious man, Jim was his name, came and spoke to me and he said, "Malcolm, we've never had a funeral in the church of a person who's committed suicide." That was common, as you're probably aware. And I said, "Jim, well, we are going to now." And a third of the Sunday morning congregation attended the funeral on that Tuesday. One of the most beautiful experiences of my entire ministry. The church has a slogan, a goal, which says to reconnect with the community, to share God's love. Are those words familiar to you? You at the Vines, well, I'm here now, we at the Vines have a goal to reposition the church, to go beyond some of the hurdles that aren't so big after all. and reconnect. Got the pantry project going at the moment, a wonderful example of repositioning the church. And we had that other Bible passage, the longer one. It was about judgment and about confusion and about repositioning people. When Jesus was challenged and said, when did we do all these things for you? And Jesus' answer was quite powerful.
As you've done it to the least of these who are members of my family, you've done it to me.
Yes. Remember Colin spoke about Mother Teresa and Malcolm Muggeridge the first Sunday I was here? And I said Mother Teresa had this thing she said to her sisters in the streets of Calcutta. You go out there to see Jesus in one of his many disguises. Just have a look around the church this morning and see Jesus in some of his disguises. And as we do it to each other, we do it to Christ in one of his very many disguises. Let's pray. Father God, please keep challenging us to think and act in different ways, to reposition ourselves, as Christians, as members of this church and the communities that we represent. Lord, heal us too. Encourage us to shed our cloaks and to follow Jesus with joy and power. Amen.
So we'll sing the benediction. We'll sing again. And Malcolm will stand by the door so you can't get out without your homework sheet.
Do some explaining.
Yeah. He has assured us that he won't give us a grade, but he will be interested to see what we read or what our thoughts were, what our recollections are. It's not. Ready? Let's sing. We can sit and be still.
Together. Be still.
being passed around what probably are inappropriately referred to as your homework sheets. The picture at the top is of a crossing on the Daly River in the Northern Territory, Ulu Crossing it's called, an old cattle crossing. And to push our thoughts a little bit further about repositioning ourselves, I've posed some questions, some exercises for you. And so don't just take one per couple if you're a couple, take one each, because each person needs to have one. And the exercise is take time to find a place in this scene where you are now. That could be emotionally, physically, financially, any other aspect of your life. Where am I now? And you've got room to make some notes. Now find another place where you'd really like to be. And you might like to write something about that. And thirdly, how are you going to get from the first place to the second? Now this may take some time for you, but don't worry too much about that. You've got the full week before you sit for your... No. This is yours, it's private. If you want to share it with somebody, do so. If something happens during the week as you work through this, you think, I'd like to talk to a friend about this, give them a ring and say, hey, can I talk to you? Or if you want to ring me, well, you can do that too. And next week, some of you may like to bring your sheet and your notes and share with us your journey. There's no pressure on anybody to do that. It's just something that you may choose to do if that's important for you. Okay? Now, there are more than sheets than necessary. I've done plenty, and if you know somebody who isn't here today that you'd like to take a copy for them, will you do that? All right? Let's pray. Father God, take us from our time of worship in peace and in love. May we be listeners and encouragers. May we be lovers and laughers. May we weep with those who weep and stand firm with those who feel frail. And may we do all of this in the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen.